Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome one and all to another day here at the Damage Report. I'm John Arula, but much more important than that, she is Adrienne Lawrence. Adrienne, how's it going?
Hi, it's going pretty good. It's wild right now with the news cycle, but it's good.
Yeah, was it 2 days ago? I like having both Trump being found liable when it comes to the sexual assault claims and George Santos having the charges against him. I mean, that is about as big of a singular news day as we've had in quite some time. Maybe Tucker Carlson being fired, maybe Russia invading Ukraine. I don't know what else in the last year or so could compare with that. It's been exciting.
Seriously, it has been something special. I don't know if we can handle any more.
I think we're good. If everyone else could just calm down for a little bit. Fannie Willis, if you want to make some news, I guess I'd be okay with that. But other than that, you know, or maybe the Dark Crystal being brought back for a second season, maybe on Amazon Prime. Other than that, I'm good without any more news. And with that said, we do have a lot that we're gonna be talking about. Did you know, most of you probably don't know, but I'm here to tell you that CNN had a town hall with Trump last night. Oh, we're gonna be talking about it, everyone. Because a lot of people who think they know everything said it was gonna be a disaster. And we're proven right. Anyway, we're gonna get to that. We've got new updates on George Santos and corruption when it comes to medication abortion. And I don't know, there's probably some AI in there. Fox is being sued again. This is a separate lawsuit against Fox. There's a lot going on. And in anticipation of all of that, you'd probably be well served to go hit that like button right now. Let people know that we're live. They can join us, get involved in the conversation. And as part of that conversation, if you want to send us comments, tweets, or super chats, Adrienne and I will respond during our social breaks. And you might even get yourself a Blue Apron gift card for $100. I just made a cheesy tomato gnocchi dish last night through them. By the way, I purchased my own Blue Apron. I don't get it free or whatever, which would be really nice. Blue Apron, give me a call. I've just been purchasing it for a long time and it's delicious. I really do enjoy it. And my wife and I have a lot of fun cooking regularly thanks to our subscription. And you can get a taste of that by sending a good comment. Anyway, with all that said, Adrienne, are you ready to get into the aforementioned big news?
I am ready.
Okay, I too am ready. Oh God, how do we want to do this? I want to prepare everyone in the audience, by the way. You're going to see quite a bit of Donald Trump and what happened at the town hall. Understand that I consider myself to have been choosy. So just bear that in mind going forward. The whole thing is bonkers. Everybody knew that Caitlin Collins was gonna have her hands full trying to have a town hall with Donald Trump. That is not just an avenue for him to spread the big lie and other conspiracy theories. So we were all wondering, how long is she gonna be able to hold the reins and keep him under control? Well, here's the first question.
President Trump, thank you for your time here tonight. We got a great crowd here. Your first term ended with a deadly riot at the Capitol, and you still have not publicly acknowledged the 2020 election results. Why should Americans put you back in the White House?
Because we did fantastically. We got 12 million more votes than we had in, as you know, in 2016. I actually say we did far better in that election. Got the most that anybody's ever gotten as a sitting president of the United States. I think that when you look at that result and when you look at what happened during that election, unless you're a very stupid person, you see what happens. A lot of the people, in this audience, and maybe a couple that don't, but most people understand what happened. That was a rigged election, and it's a shame that we had to go through it. It's very bad for our country. All over the world, they looked at it, and they saw exactly what everyone else saw. You look, even if you just look recently with the 51 intelligence agents, that made a 16-point difference. If you look at the FBI.
Mr. President.
If you look at the FBI and Twitter, they call it Twitter files, made a big difference. If you look at
Mr. President, back to what you just said there, though, it was not a rigged election. It was not a stolen election. You and your supporters lost more than 60 court cases.
So that one clip right there, I think, demonstrates the entire town hall. Let's keep it real. Donald Trump said the same lies, the same conspiracy theories that he always does. He, despite the fact that they're not convincing arguments, the everyone everywhere looked at it and they all think it was rigged is simply not true. It's also vague for a reason. He hasn't gotten any better at that. Caitlin Collins actually was prepared to rebut quite a bit of his lies. She couldn't keep up with all of them, but it was pointless. Because he would just reiterate them. He's never going to admit that he's lying. And more importantly, perhaps than all of that, you saw when he said only a stupid person would think it wasn't rigged, which I guess includes those 60 judges, the crowd laughed uproariously. Because that was a wild card that I had not been prepared for when it came to this thing. I expected that he would lie. I expected perhaps even more so than it ended up being the case that Caitlin Collins wouldn't be prepared for this. What I did not expect was that CNN was going to get, I think, 400 Trump fans and just fill the room with them. So that every lie that he told before it could be rebutted, before it could be corrected, would immediately receive applause and cheering and vicious laughter, as we'll get to. And so that was the experience you had as a viewer, was him saying insane things and then you receiving the, I guess, like the social proof that everyone agrees with him. Everyone thinks that he's awesome. It's the same as adding a laugh track to a sitcom. It's to accomplish a goal. We now are left to wonder what goal was CNN trying to accomplish by packing the room with Trump fans. Adrian, what do you think?
Okay, so I definitely think that CNN got exactly what it wanted, which is an opportunity to uplift Donald Trump. You know, the fact is that with their new leadership, they have moved to the right and they are essentially taking a lot of their moderate viewers with them. But also what they really expected last night was for it to be an absolute utter clown show, because that's exactly what Trump is, a walking carnival. And they got that in terms of the applause from the audience. And the reason I would say they were applauding was not necessarily because of what he said, but because of how he said it, which is in an insulting and completely and totally unprofessional bullying tone. It's like watching The Office, where you're thinking this isn't something that happens in real life. This is completely unacceptable, and that's why it's funny. And that is why Donald Trump gets the responses that he gets, is because you're like, I cannot believe someone who is supposed to be of a certain ilk is acting this way, but he does it, and he does it unapologetically. Yeah. And that's what CNN was looking for.
Yeah, I think, look, they definitely got exactly what they wanted. They got a thing that would draw viewers, damn what it does to democracy. They don't care. And when I say they, I mean like the leadership or whatever. I have no idea if Caitlin Collins is involved in any of this or whatever. But they got what they wanted. They want to have a bunch of events like this that draw ratings. I think we can all agree on that. That's the base level for this conversation. But beyond that, they want him to be president. Like, is that even controversial to say at this point? They want him to be president. First of all, every one of the rich a-holes that runs CNN is going to benefit financially from another term of Donald Trump, he'll cut his taxes or whatever. It'll have devastating effects on all of us, but they don't care about us. That's very clear. And then they'll have 4 years of that event. Every day will be that Trump town hall, and they can bring people on the air to be like, this is unacceptable. This shouldn't be normalized as we normalize it in the lead up to the election. That's what all of this is about. Again, no idea about Caitlin Collins or any of the hosts on CNN or whatever, but definitely this is, I think, an admittance that they wanted to be president. And while asking about some of the most important topics, what the result of the election was, January 6th, he said the rioters were there with love in their heart. It was a beautiful day. He lied blatantly about when he finally begrudgingly released his video telling them to go home. He pretended that it was 3 hours earlier than it was. It's the most obvious lie ever, and every single one of his fans will accept it. You'll never get through to them. Here's a little bit more on that video.
I made a video right outside the Oval Office in the Rose Garden, and I'm very proud of that video. I didn't have a script. I don't need scripts like a certain person that's in there right now.
The video, it came out much later after they had already attacked the Capitol.
It was a great video. And it was a beautiful video. And it said, I mean, I don't want to read it all, but you have to go home now. We have to have peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first of all, it was definitely scripted. What the hell are you talking about? All of your speeches are scripted. That's what makes them speeches. Yes, Joe Biden's are too, so are yours. So is every Republican. Again, like, the bar is buried beneath the level of the surface of the earth for him to get applause from these people. You saw them do the crowd reaction to him saying that Joe Biden reads off of a script or whatever. And there was that, I'm going to guess, a president of the College Republicans of some white university. Like, oh yes, that's a great point. Biden does use a script. This is what CNN made the choice. To fill the room with those people, not to like fill it with a mixture of some people who are independent, some people are Democrats, some people are Republicans, just like the most MAGA'd out people that you would ever see as he tells obvious lies about what happened on January 6th, what he did or did not do to stop it. And this is just the first of many, I'm sure, Adrian. We're gonna get a lot more of this.
No, and I couldn't agree more. And the thing is I was pushing people to kind of boycott this for CNN because, you know, you wanted to hit their ratings by virtue of the fact that you do not want other media outlets to continue to sensationalize this man's shenanigans and also to give him a platform because it is not healthy for the nation. And as I understand, the ratings were not that great for CNN, which would be great and beneficial. But also really? I will note, yeah, well, at least I saw something online saying that it did not go as well as they wanted. But even though it seems that the president or CEO, Chris Licht, he seemed to be very pleased with the outcome. But I do know that Caitlin Collins was a host at the Daily Wire and a reporter, or Daily Caller, the reporter before then. So it kind of makes me wonder if she was completely okay with doing this.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. By the way, being reminded, Yonek points out, I'd forgotten, they had the other takes of his speech. They had been recorded. He was trying to get through it and he couldn't, which is weird that you have to keep restarting on something that wasn't scripted. So weird how that works out. Also, in that very beautiful video, he said that the people who were doing everything they could to beat those cops to death with their bare hands, with flagpoles, with all that, were beautiful people. He loves them and they're very special. Yeah, yeah, good point. This is the country we live in.
By the way, let me tell you real quick. I just saw the post. I was wrong. CNN's town hall with Donald Trump averaged 3.1 million total viewers. The event outrated Fox and MSNBC as expected, but these are not 2015 and 2016 level numbers for Trump, not even close. That's Brian Stelter.
Okay, interesting. They probably still see it as a win because I don't imagine they ever get close to that number, but good point that it's not as popular as it was. Now, we've got a couple of other big topics to get to. I want to start with an important one, though, just to remind people of the stakes going forward for 2024. Here is Donald Trump being asked about whether he's going to accept the results of the next election if he does run again.
The results of the 2024 election.
Yeah, if I think it's an honest election, absolutely, I would.
Will you commit to accepting the results of the election regardless of the outcome?
The woman answered again. If I think it's an honest election, I would be honored to.
Okay, so no one, I hope, is surprised by that answer, right? We all knew that that's what his position was going to be. That was exactly what his position was going into 2020. And it doesn't mean anything. He's not going to accept it unless he wins. That's literally all it means. And that's all it needs to mean because that's all his base wants him to do. They don't care whether it's actually rigged against him or not. They only care if he wins or not. He, as a result of losing all of those court cases, as a result of the failure of his coup attempt, if you believed, perhaps naively, perhaps optimistically, that there has been any improvement in the likelihood that something like this would happen again, he's reminding you, no. If he can steal the election, he will do it. And I don't mean by rigging the machines or whatever. I mean by literally storming the Capitol and murdering our politicians. If he can do that successfully, he will do that. If the people that they've put in charge of county elections boards or secretaries of state can, you know, say Houston's votes don't count anymore, or something happened in Atlanta, I guess we have to redo the election, they will do that. Whatever your worst nightmare is of the way that the 2024 election will go, what will happen afterward if Biden legitimately wins is likely to happen. So prepare yourself. Adrian, what do you think?
I think that we are headed for more trouble. We have the opportunity to shut down Donald Trump, to use the Constitution to our advantage and to hold him accountable. But unfortunately, it seems the Republican, the GOP, did not have the collective integrity and courage to actually do what needed to be done. And now we are finding ourselves in a similar position. And it becomes a question of are we actually going to stop this? We've seen who this person is, and yet we continue to enable it and allow it. And it's not just members of the GOP in terms of legislature, as we see now, also very much members of the media and those in positions of power. And it really speaks to the fact that nobody cares necessarily about the American people. It's more about capitalism and ensuring that they can drive those ratings and ensuring that they can continue to capitalize on the controversy while the rest of us are just sitting here dying. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah, or waiting to die. At the very least, terrified of what's gonna happen. You know, there's probably a lot of cases where I would want her to do something else, Caitlin Collins or something. But like I do sort of feel for her in that moment. He says, I'll accept it if it's honest. She like reiterates the question. He says it again. Look, maybe there are more clever, more intelligent people than me that could come up with something she could say in that moment that would matter in literally any way, but I don't know what it is. He's gonna say that because again, it isn't about him. It's about what he is allowed to do and whether there's any consequences for it from the only people that matter, which is his base. And there are other politicians, even Republican politicians, that if you point out that they're being wildly hypocritical or whatever, they will be laughed at perhaps, or their base will turn on them. There's nothing he can say that's going to do that. They know how ridiculous what he's saying is. They know what it means. They know that it means that if he loses, he will never accept it. They accept, but that's what they want. So what is a reporter, even if we were to forget about her past with the right wing and everything and just assume that she is a perfect, pure, like avatar of journalistic ethics, what is she supposed to do in that moment?
I don't know. I think that that is a good question. The thing is, I still have issues with her even putting herself in that position. You know, I wouldn't want to be a part of enabling that man in any way, knowing that what he stands for is insanely problematic to our democracy. And so empowering that by giving him a platform. Plus, there were also times last night where it was clear she was egging him on in ways of which, you know, she didn't have to say that. She did not have to, you know, goad him, so to speak, yet she did because she knew he would lash back out. You know, I think it was when they were having that tussle back and forth and she's like, well, that's why I asked the question or something like that. It's like, I think we've all dealt with toddlers at a certain point in time. You don't have to tit for tat with it, and she did. And I'm just like, that's completely and totally unnecessary. But she was able to get that you're a nasty girl, a nasty woman comment from it. And that's what they were looking for, those shocking moments, as opposed to actually holding leaders accountable and not giving them platforms when they are fascist.
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah, like it's one thing to not be able to rebut it when it happens. It's another to enable it happening in the first place. That's a great point. You brought up though the nasty woman thing that came as a result of a question about him stealing the classified documents. So why don't we jump ahead to video 5 and we'll play that interaction.
Why you held on to those documents when you knew the federal government was seeking them and then had given you a subpoena to return them?
Are you ready? Are you ready? Can I talk?
Yeah, what's the answer?
Do you mind?
I would like for you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple to, you're a nasty person, I'll tell you.
Can you answer why you held on to the documents?
I was negotiating and we were talking to NARA.
That was when he called her a nasty woman, the cheering and clapping and all that. I've been rewatching some Married with Children, and like when Al would come through the door, you can't speak for a few seconds because that's the exact same reaction. It's just like this. Like, let me ask you a hypothetical. Maybe this is going too far. If he had just slapped her as hard as he could right there, do we think that his audience, like I'm not saying across the country, I'm just saying right in that room, would have turned on him, or would they have cheered? Would they have laughed? Would they have clapped? I don't like what my gut is telling me in response to that. But what do you think? I don't know.
Seriously, if anything, I think you would have heard people gasp, but then I think you would have heard them giggle. I think at the end of the day, they would have given him a pass, but we just saw what in Manhattan federal court that they were unwilling to give him a pass. So who knows what is changing, but that's again, not his audience. But again, CNN really did set this up for this exact purpose so that we could see this carnival go on with this clown and not really treat it as serious as it is, which is this man who could be the GOP front runner and is incredibly dangerous to our society, incredibly.
Yeah, they showed the crowd many times. Those people on average despise women to a degree that is just truly amazing. But it's obviously not contained in just the right. There are plenty of people in the center or on the left who have varying levels of internalized or just explicit outright misogyny. But those people, like and including not just the conservative guys in the audience, there's just they just want to see people be vicious to women. That's what they want. And it's gross. Anyway, we had perhaps an even worse example of them being given what they want. This town hall, of course, happened less than 24 hours after Donald Trump was found guilty in the civil rape lawsuit from E. Jean Carroll, stating that he had sexually abused her. He's gonna have to pay literally millions of dollars to her. This would, for any other politician, any other person, be one of the most devastating imaginable developments. It had no effect whatsoever on the reception that his base gave him. And in fact, when he decided to speak about that case, defaming E. Jean Carroll in the exact same way that he was just ordered to pay millions of dollars over, I want you to listen to the reaction that he got for that.
This woman, I don't know her. I never met her. I have no idea who she is. I had a picture taken years ago with her and her husband, nice guy, John Johnson. He was a newscaster, very nice man. She called him an ape, happens to be African American, called him an ape. The judge wouldn't allow us to put that in. Her dog or her cat was named Vagina. The judge wouldn't allow to put that in. All of these things, but with her, they can put in anything. Access Hollywood.
This is a jury of nine people who found you liable of sexual abuse. Do you think that will deter women from voting for you?
No, I don't think so, because I think the whole thing, just so you understand, ready? I never met this woman. I never saw this woman. This woman said, I met her at the front door of Bergdorf Goodman, which I rarely go into other than for a couple of charities. I met her in the front door. She was about 60 years old then. This is like 22, 23 years ago. I met her in the front door of Bergdorf Goodman. I was immediately attracted to her and she was immediately attracted to me. And we had this great chemistry. We're walking into a crowded department store. We had this great chemistry, and a few minutes later, we end up in a dressing room of Bergdorf Goodman, right near the cash register. And then she found out there are locks on the door, so she said, I found one that was open. She found one, she learned this at trial. She found one that was open. What kind of a woman meets somebody and brings them up, and within minutes, you're playing hanky-panky in a dressing room, okay? I don't know if she was married then or not. John Johnson, I feel sorry for you, John Johnson.
Mr. President.
Yeah, that was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen at a town hall like this. He gave a mocking, like fake, he was lying about portions of that, of what happened. He was already found guilty to have done. And the people giggled and laughed. You saw in one of those shots, there was a woman who was laughing so hard that she had to cover her face because she was laughing so much at the way that he was once again attacking the woman who has now been at least shown by a civil court to have proved that he did these things. And they absolutely loved it, Adrian, all of them. He wasn't getting booed. I did not hear a single boo for any of the things that he said there. Not from a man, not from a woman, not from a Democrat, if they were allowed in at all, not from a MAGA person. They all loved it. They thought it was the most funny stuff that they've heard all week. What do you think?
I really think that these people are detestable, but I also have to wonder, are they truly reflective of his base, or how did CNN choose its audience? Did they go out and ask people via questionnaire or survey, or were they paying people to do this, to sit in the audience? I really don't know what was going on, but I know that, again, this was supposed to be news. This was supposed to be media. It's supposed to be objective, and it clearly wasn't. They set up this situation to be like this. This is gross.
100% gross. And also, like, he really does think that he's got a great defense on his hands. He's not sure enough about it to actually testify, because he didn't. He ran away. But he believes her cat was named Vagina, and she used a racial slur. And those two things mean that she could not have been raped, because that's how reality works, I suppose. And you can't hear that at the trial. But what you can hear, and he even cited it, is the Access Hollywood tape, which is not about the name of his pet. It's not about the many times he's used racial slurs in his life. It's about him bragging about sexually assaulting people. Can you see a bit of a difference as to which one is more applicable to a trial for rape? But anyway, yeah, it's just, the people are gross. They're just utterly gross. Like, there is almost nothing more core to being on the left side of the spectrum than empathy and compassion. It's what drives a lot of your other values, which drive the policies that you want. But man, sometimes these people stray in the ability to empathize, for them individually at the very least, if not as a group, when they are just so gross. But anyway, look, I don't know how much more of this we have time to get into. I think we're gonna go to the reactions. He lied about, just assume everything else. We can't play all the tapes, I can't read all the quotes. He lied about the content of the crowd that attacked on January 6th. He lied about abortion. He refused to admit that Vladimir Putin has committed war crimes. It's indisputable, but he's not gonna say it. He said that if we defaulted on the national debt, it would be just a bad week or a bad day. They rolled the dice on that. He lied about his call with Brad Raffensperger. We've all heard it. He lied about what he said. Every single person in that room has heard it. They didn't care that he lied. They loved that he lied. Let's see, he said that we should default on the debt, even though he had previously said that debt ceiling negotiations should never be used. That was when he was president. Now he's not, so he gets to flip on it. He joked about that. The crowd knew that he was joking about that, that it was obvious hypocrisy, and they loved it because they don't care about any of this. He refused to say whether he thinks that Ukraine or Russia should win the war. It's all the same to him. What's the difference, I suppose? And it's just like one thing after another. Again, look, they can have him on, they're allowed to, they're a news network, they can do whatever they want. But I think that people, to the extent that they had expectations for or faith in CNN, like if this does not affect your view of that organization, I don't know what to tell you at this point. And we're gonna get to some of the internal reactions in just a sec, Adrian, but any other thoughts about anything that was actually said during it?
No, I think it was nothing that we didn't expect already. And again, shame on CNN for doing this, but you can't really shame an entity that is doing exactly what you expect them to do.
Yeah, all of them are doing, whether it's the host, whether it's Trump, whether it's CNN, exactly what will get them money and fame, notoriety, whatever. They're doing that. Okay, I wanna come now to how people have responded to it. We're gonna start off though with video 8. Whenever you're ready, we can just launch directly into that.
I know you said earlier that you will not comment on the platforming of such atrocious disinformation, but I would. I think it was a profoundly irresponsible decision. I don't think that I would be doing my job if I did not say that. And what we saw tonight was a series of extremely irresponsible decisions that put a sexual abuse victim at risk, that put that person at risk in front of a national audience. And I could not have disagreed with it more. It was shameful.
I think that in that video, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez represents, I would guess, the majority opinion on CNN's decision to have Trump on to do exactly what he did. They knew he would do it. They gave him a venue to do it. They stacked the venue with his supporters in a way that they would never do for any other politician. I don't remember if it was CNN or MSNBC, but back in the 2016 election, Bernie Sanders had a town hall and they brought in a ton of people to talk about the horrors of communism against him. You didn't see anything like that from this town hall, I noticed. But anyway, as much as I love that AOC is pointing out that this was a terrible idea, if you have any hope that the fact that people are aghast at this is gonna change CNN's view, not a chance in hell. We already know that on a network-wide editorial call, Chris Licht, you know, one of the heads of CNN, congratulated Caitlin Collins on a masterful performance. said, "We all know covering Donald Trump is messy and tricky, and it will continue to be messy and tricky, but it's our job. I absolutely unequivocally believe America was served very well by what we did last night. People woke up and they know what the stakes are in this election in a way that they didn't the day before. And if someone was gonna ask tough questions and have that messy conversation, it damn well should be on CNN so that we can reap the money." I added that last part, but that was the subtext. While we all may have been uncomfortable hearing people clapping, that was also an important part of the story. Because the people in that audience represent a large swath of America. And the mistake the media made in the past is ignoring that those people exist. Just like you cannot ignore that President Trump exists. I will give him like partial credit on the last point. It is good to be reminded of how absolutely gross his base is, perhaps. The idea that we needed CNN to let him, to give him an audience of millions to lie about the election, lie about the woman he sexually assaulted, because we needed to be reminded of the stakes, go all of the way to hell. What the hell are you talking about? There is not a person in America that doesn't know what the stakes are in this election. We don't need you to, conveniently while making money, remind us of them. Adrian.
Yeah, it seems that everything Chris Licht is giving here is really just giving away the fact that CNN really just wants to join the right wing circuit and uplift it and trying to justify it with these purportedly objective journalistic takes. And that's not who CNN is anymore. And we're going to continue to see shifts in their programming and slanted viewpoints. I think they're going to end up being more like Fox News at the end of the day. And it's unfortunate, but again, as you pointed out, that's where the money is.
Yes. Yeah. In a reasonable country, CNN would be the like kind of embarrassing right wing news station. And that would be the extent of it. That would be too far for most people. Instead, that's just the beginning of the spectrum of mainstream media. Anyway, okay, let's see. You know who else thought that this was a great event? Oh, what do you know? Trump did. His campaign told Jason Miller, I should say, told Dylan Byers, it was fantastic. Keep in mind, many CNN viewers haven't seen him talk about his policy views on saving America in quite a while. Oh yes, that's what he talked about, his policy views. But he is right, a lot of CNN viewers probably haven't watched a Trump rally before, and so CNN gave them the ability to do that. It was not a town hall. I think it literally wasn't a town hall. They had a couple of questions from the audience. It was a rally, they gave him a rally, that's what they did. Now, a few network executives sent in anonymous comments. One said, having people applaud those sexual abuse comments definitely made me question my allegiance to this network, which I guess the allegiance continues because it's still anonymous. Anyway, one former CNN executive says it was an unmitigated disaster. The audience was like a Trump rally. Caitlin had no support in the room. They were mocking her. And a third TV industry insider said Chris Licht gave Trump a rally. Yeah, that's what it was. And what do we think, Adrian? A month until the next one, maybe, like at the longest, six of them this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I could definitely see CNN hosting more of it. Again, I expect more right-wing slanted news coverage from them. I'm just wondering if right now also what they're trying to do is pick up the Fox News viewers who left Fox News because of Tucker Carlson's departure. Either way, yeah, it's not going to work out well for them in the end, but it will show to be profitable, I'm sure, at a certain point in time. But still, I can't see this actually going to be anything fruitful. CNN had really built a brand on being right kind of in the center and being more of a moderate. And so I just don't think that individuals are going to trust CNN, no matter how many Donald Trumps they put out there to act up.
Yeah, I think you're right. And also, I think, look, they want to get, I agree that they want to get some of those Tucker Carlson viewers, but I know those viewers have been told not to trust CNN for like the last 10 years by Tucker Carlson. That just seems like that's going to be a really hard play. Okay, we are going to drastically mix things up and talk about some other topics that I believe Adrian is going to find quite interesting. So why don't we jump into that? The constant legal and judicial back and forth over whether any individual living in any particular area in America will have access to medication abortion is not done yet. And the next judge who is set to hear a case having to do with medication abortion is a real doozy. So hold on to your butts as you find out about James Ho, who along with two other conservative judges will hear a case on May 17th. We're 6 days out from it at this point. Ho is the Federalist Society MAGA darling of Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, who's written very aggressive opinions, including one from 2019 in which he said that, quote, abortion is the immoral, tragic, and violent taking of innocent human life. Which, bear in mind, I'm not a lawyer. I've never been to law school. I wouldn't have made it through. But I feel like that is not legal language. I feel like that's moralistic, ethical language. That's philosophical language. But he's writing it as if it is legally grounded. He, by the way, of course, was put on the bench by Donald Trump back in 2017. In 2019, he said that a trial judge's ruling, which struck down a 15-week abortion ban and which was affirmed by the Fifth Circuit under the then standing Roe precedent, displayed, quote, an alarming disrespect for the millions of Americans who believe that babies deserve legal protection during pregnancy as well as after birth, and that abortion is the immoral, tragic, and violent taking of innocent human life. We're gonna add one more ingredient into this vile stew. When he was sworn in, it apparently happened in this, to put up this picture, this incredibly fancy library owned by Harlan Crow. So that's fun. Oh, Ted Cruz was there. So overall, a great guy. Adrian, what do you make of this? Do you have any expectations for what this panel of three conservatives is gonna do?
I think we're gonna see exactly what we have seen from these panel of conservatives that Trump had put in place throughout our judiciary, is we're going to see uneducated, uninformed decision making that doesn't rely on the law or maintaining precedent or any kind of truly intellectual in-depth analysis, but largely is looking to bolster Christian fascism. This ideology that we should allow these Christian biblical principles to be the law. And that's not what they are put on this court to do at all. The separation of church and state, it's as though that was a suggestion as opposed to a mandate. And that is clearly not the case based on our government. But these individuals who are out there are looking to make that the lay of the land, or the law of the land, shall we say. But we know there are no laws other than those in the Bible for them.
You know, I wanted to ask you more generally about some of the recent judicial opinions on medication abortion. So you have what appear to me to be a series of people who are technically judges, but clearly want to be either religious leaders or perhaps hosts of shows on The Blaze or Alex Jones's network. When you pluck a particular medication that was approved years and years and years ago, that is available in the vast majority of the countries on earth, and then say, no, I don't think it should be used. Like, I'm not familiar with this ever happening before. Have you seen anything like this?
No, generally you're not supposed to interject your own personal ideology or philosophy. You're supposed to abide by the law, back up the science. You know, when you are working in law, what you do is essentially you end up putting on a bunch of different hats. You learn all of the information by researching and reading the data. You don't just read the arguments that are made, but you ensure that you are applying facts. You apply the law to the facts. And in this situation, what these conservative judges are doing is skewing the facts. They are completely and totally, to some extent, ignoring them, creating their own idea as a set of facts, and then trying to claim, well, hey, we can't do this with the law because the law says that under these set of newfound facts that we're not supposed to uphold this medication. They're just completely making up the facts.
Yeah. Yeah, and ignoring, I think, convenient facts or inconvenient facts as well. So here's one. 2/3 of Americans say that mifepristone, I always have trouble saying that. I'm not a lawyer, I'm also not a doctor, although I have watched many episodes of House, say that it should remain on the market. Only 24% of Americans say that it shouldn't. Some of them might claim that the reason that they want it taken off is because they don't think it's safe, but let's be clear, they don't care. They just want it gone. They don't care if it's safe, they don't want it to be used. But why am I listing a poll of what people think, as if we live in a democracy or something? Here are some truly terrible facts. Since Roe v. Wade was destroyed, according to the National Abortion Federation, we found a sharp increase in violence directed against abortion providers and patients. Now, this isn't super new. There had been, you know, terrorist attacks on these places for a long time, but apparently it has gone up quite a bit. A 9-fold increase in reported cases of stalking, a doubling of burglaries, and a 29% increase in assaults and batteries between 2021 to 2022. Bomb threats have increased by 133%. Obstruction has risen more than fivefold. And again, it's like, this is like a slightly more policy centric version of what Trump did with his white supremacist rhetoric, the racist things that he would say, anti-Semitic, all that. It's not like these things were new in American politics. They've been around longer than America has been around. But when you have incredibly powerful people tell you, no, this is good, this should not be hidden, this should be out there, you are better if you're this way, well, then you're gonna find a lot of people being more aggressive. And so millions of conservatives have been told, no, we're probably done with abortion as a country. We're wrapping up the last few states that still allow it. And so they feel emboldened to go and attack people. And so I don't know, you hate to see it, obviously, Adrian, but what do you make of what we're seeing?
This is par for the course, you know, in a situation like this where you had the right making up these quote unquote facts about abortion and riling up their base who think that their way has to be the way. And you just end up in situations like this. But the thing is that I expect to see more reporting on is the murder and assaults on women who can't access abortion and their partners do not want to have the responsibility of a child. There's gonna be considerable violence against those women in the coming years. So it's just gonna be violence, all around violence, simply because individuals can't allow women and birthing people to control their bodies.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I hope that we do. We'll see. The media has talked a lot about abortion since Roe v. Wade was destroyed, or the leak came out implied that it would, but we'll see. That's gonna require a commitment to, you know, taking stories that might initially start off as just local and making sure that people know about them. Also, we're gonna eventually have to make sure that we cover when the state begins to execute women for and birthing people for having abortions. They are gearing up in multiple states to make that a criminal offense. They're going to be locking people up. They're going to be executing them. That's the pro-life country that we're moving towards. In any event, we have a couple of other stories, including updates on George Santos. That's who I know him as. You might know him by a different name, but in any event, we know that he's in trouble, and we're gonna give you some more details on that after this. Okay, everyone, let's start off with this.
Are you planning on running for re-election?
Yes, I am.
Why should anybody believe you now?
Well, like I said, I will prove myself innocent and then we'll move from there. And re-election is a very far time away from now.
So George Santos, you know, after turning himself in, facing 13 charges, which we will recount, assures us that he will be running for re-election. I think it's more likely that he will just run. I think at any moment, I think he might just start running and reinvent himself somewhere off in the hinterlands. Anyway, he pleaded not guilty yesterday to 13 federal criminal charges. He was released on a $500,000 bond. I assume, Adrian, that represents that the court considers him to be a fairly serious flight risk, which I think is putting it lightly.
Yes, because generally, if you are a significant public figure, they will release you on your own recognizance, thinking that, hey, you're not gonna necessarily go anywhere. You know, we know where you are, there's always cameras following you. But that tells you that the court is like, no dice, bruh. We know you could be Dr. Richard Kimball in a whole 5 seconds. You will be the fugitive. Give me your passport. You're gonna have to stay here.
Yeah. And by the way, I would go over the check for that 500,000 a couple times, considering who we're talking about here. Anyway, he was charged for a lot of stuff. I don't know if we have time to go through all of it. Alleged wire fraud, money laundering, theft of public funds, lying to Congress, which they all do, but he's being charged for. Anyway, 7 counts of wire fraud, 3 counts of money laundering, 1 count of theft of public funds, 2 counts of making materially false statements to the US House. And that's just the crimes that George Santos is accused of doing. Wait until we get into Anthony DeValder and Katana Revanche and all of that. It's just, it stacks up. Anyway, he allegedly executed a scheme, according to the indictment, to quote, defraud supporters of his candidacy for the House by inducing supporters to donate to a company, quote, under the false pretense that the money would be used to support Santos's candidacy. Instead, the money was used on personal expenses, including luxury designer clothing and credit card payments, per the indictment. And look, I will say, I usually take at face value these sorts of statements about, you know, allegations of criminality. But in this case, I have to say that I think I'm on his side, because they're saying he raised hundreds of thousands of dollars and then used it to buy luxury designer clothing. As we can tell from that video, he has been wearing the same shirt and sweater combo since he was sworn in. Where is all of that clothing that he bought? Maybe he defrauded the department stores, I don't know. But anyway, these are serious charges. They are quite believable charges, I will say, Adrian. That is my amateur approach to this. What do you make of what he is being alleged to have done?
I think it sounds consistent with what we know of Mr. Santos, DeValder, so on and so forth. This isn't really shocking. The man has lied and lied and lied some more. And so it's really weird how he seems to be so indignant about his innocence when he got into his position lying, and he's shown us nothing other than being a lie. So I don't get it. But yeah, the charges seem on point.
Yeah, he's calling it a witch hunt. Like, ha 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 ha. I see what you're doing there. Like I really don't know to what extent he realizes the way he is perceived. Like he has had, like Trump has no shame, but I would say that George Santos is on a similar level of, if it was me, if I was George Santos, you would never see me in public again. Like I would find a way to never be seen, but he keeps going out there despite all that he's facing. And by the way, George Santos is not just facing those 13 charges. There's also other investigations that are going on. Actually, here's a staffer of his. Take a look at this.
Your testimony to the FBI was that you had been inappropriately touched by the congressman. Is that true?
That is correct. And I think we can see that play out as well. The ethics committee, of course, is still looking into that. And now they've got a whole nother ballgame that they have to look into. The speaker is not going to have a choice now but to address these allegations and these criminal charges when they are handed down tomorrow. A lot of people have asked me today, since this news broke, is the congressman going to resign? And the reality is he's not going to resign, Chris, because he can't afford to resign. The man has no money elsewhere.
And that is a whole nother thing that they're going to be looking into, the possibility that he inappropriately touched this person. I don't have any additional knowledge about the allegations, but he's facing that. We also, Adrian, have one more bit of news that I believe just broke this morning. We'll see what ends up happening with it. But prosecutors have proposed a deal, apparently, in which Santos would pay a fine to the state of Rio de Janeiro and reimburse the fraud victim. Remember in his like check fraud thing that he did down in Rio, for the full amount he stole, adjusted for inflation, and the embattled lawmaker is expected to appear before a Brazilian judge at a video hearing. So that's a whole nother separate thing that he's being investigated for. So there's a lot going on.
Yes, and something that I think would be very novel and could actually be very successful is I would wage a defense of some kind of mental infirmity, because as you mentioned, the level of shamelessness, it's not normal. It's not kind of like Donald Trump where he tries to amplify it. You can kind of tell that he knows what the truth is. DeVolder is committed and devoted. And as much as there probably hasn't been that much success in saying, I'm a wild raging narcissist, and that's why, you know, I should be getting a pass here, I think to some extent you could show that this goes to the level of this man having no idea that he should not be acting this way. But yeah, it could be interesting, but I would try to essentially push the case law because I really think that's the only thing that could save Santos.
Yeah, you know, that is fascinating because I'm not apparently at this point I'm not anything. I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Although I did pursue political psychology, so maybe there's something there. If you can react to all of this just so damning information coming out about you and have no affect whatsoever, appear to not care at all, then you really do have to question, is that why he did it in the first place? Like when you find out that a person has defrauded veterans by fraudulently raising money intended for dog cancer treatment and then you steal it, that is arguably more evil than anything Cruella De Vil was made to do. You can't really be right in your mind. There is clearly something wrong with George Santos. Now that doesn't mean that he's not responsible for what he does, obviously. He's a full-grown man. But it really does make you wonder if the reaction is why he did it in the first place. Any final thoughts?
No, I agree with you. He seems very similar to the gentleman who ran that whole fire festival situation. And so I think that he is a threat to society. And so I really find this will be interesting. Essentially what the punishment that he gets is, because again, he should not be among us. He's a dangerous person as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah, and argue at least now also a danger to himself in all.
Exactly, but there will be a great Netflix special. So.
Oh yeah.
Letting you know, there will be a real good Netflix special. It's a matter of who's going to play him, which I think you need to do a poll on that. I'm not sure yet, but I'm going to look around just a little bit. We'll see.
I've seen John Lovitz has done a pretty good George Santos. I personally think that Bowen Yang does a really good George Santos. I could see that. I'm not sure. But if anyone has any ideas in the chat, give us a good one and you might earn a Blue Apron gift card. Anyway, with all that said, that is all the time we unfortunately have for the first hour of the show. But there is a lot more to come in the aftermath, including Fox being sued again, more lawsuits against them. Tommy Tuberville defending white nationalists in the military. And finally, some people fighting back against deepfakes, both in, you know, like portraying someone as being nude or in sexual activity, as well as in politics, both of those big topics. So you're not going to want to miss it. With that said, thank you everyone watching on the linear platforms, listening on the podcast. For the rest of you, we will see you in just a few. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.